I'm glad you came to worship today. Yeah, to worship. Because that's what it's all about. It's about worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What many of you just experienced is what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about worship and spiritual warfare. And some of the old spirit-filled people had a saying. They said, it's better felt than tell. That's right. You can talk about things all you want to, but when you experience the presence of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you, nobody has to tell you about anything. Amen? Amen. He's good. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to speak to you for just a few moments from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 1. It says, when you go out to battle against your enemies, got any enemies? You do. You may not have enemies here on this earth, but I'm telling you, there are principalities and powers and spiritual beings in high places that are out to do you in. When you go out to battle against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Some of you, the devil's been trying to scare you to death all week and all month and half your life. He paints horror stories for you. He always tells you the very worst that can happen. And I'm telling you, God says, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. And some of you are saying, you know, I've done all I know to do, and I still can't conquer this. Well, if you've done all you know to do, the Bible says do this. Stand. Stand. Just don't back up. Don't give in. Don't give any ground. If you can't do anything but stand, just stand where you are. And don't let him push you back. Amen? I want to talk to you about rules of engagement this morning. Would you bow your heads with me, please, and let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, for your strength, for your anointing on our hearts and lives. Lord, we thank you that you promised even in our weakness that, Lord, if we would not lose faith, if we would not faint and lose heart, God, if we would have faith in you, even when we can't see your hand, that we would trust your heart, Lord God, that, Father, you said that you would conquer our enemies and you would fight our battles, Lord God, and that you would never let us be put to shame, Father. God, I pray that you would touch each one of us in here today. And Lord, get our eyes back on you. Get our eyes off the storm. Get our eyes off of the chaos of this world and sometimes the chaos of our lives. And help us to know that you are Almighty God, that there is nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing impossible for you. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray, and you may be seated. Some of you came excited this morning, apparently. You can clap at prayer if you want to. We ought to be the most excited people on the face of God's earth. And I know that life hits us hard sometimes, and I know it hits us right in the face, and I know we struggle, and we go through different things and different battles. But I'm telling you, as long as we hold on to God, nothing, nothing can take us down. The Bible said nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. The very worst the devil can do is kill you, and he can't do that unless God gives him permission. Amen. We're passing these beautiful babies around up here today. That's all right. I could have entitled this Spiritual Warfare or The Art of War or God is Looking for a Few Good Men and a Few Good Women, but it's really about the rules of engagement, how we engage the enemy in our lives. And the reason Deuteronomy's talking about this is Israel's about to go to war to conquer the Promised Land. And God's giving them some instructions of how to overcome their enemies. And in doing so is giving us instruction about how to overcome our enemies today. In verse 2 of this chapter, he says, so it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. How many of you know you need a preacher in your life? Some of you haven't figured that out yet, but you do. She said that exactly like I paid her to. You do. The Bible said that when Jesus ascended into upper Sheol and he led out the righteous dead and led them back into the presence of Father, it said he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. He gave apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers so that you could grow up and become the kind of disciple and warrior that could take on hell and conquer it. God's word says that you and I, that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. That means we will knock those gates down. We will go into the enemy's land. We will take back what he is trying to take from us. That's what it says. We're not on the defense. We're on the offense all the time. But you need a preacher. I need a preacher. We all need a preacher because we need to hear the word of God. And it says, how shall we hear without someone to preach the gospel? So these people, it said, the priest shall approach and speak to the people. He shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. How many of you got a battle going on? Let me just see. Raise your hand. Whew. Telling you, we're in a battle, aren't we? We are. He says, do not let your heart faint. The devil's always trying to make us quit. You know, the only way you can fail at Christianity is if you quit. If you give up and you quit, that's the only way that you can lose, because we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It said, do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Whew. We could just stop right there and say, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. You say, Pastor Ken, is that talking to me? Yes, that's talking to you. Yes, if you're trusting in God. Yes, if you call yourself a Christian and a child of God. Yes, that is talking to you. And I don't care what battle you're coming up against. He said, the Lord your God is going to fight for you and he's going to save you. I want to show you a picture of spiritual warfare and spiritual battle, even though you've already seen it before your eyes this morning. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14, there is a king in Israel, and he is outnumbered by an army, and he's outnumbered by the enemy, probably 100-1. And he is in great fear, at least in the beginning. But this is the situation, and this is the circumstance. It said, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, they like them Iah things, don't they? A Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You know why it was naming these people here? They were the choir directors and the musicians and the singers. And it calls them by name, and it says on one of them, on Mattaniah, one of them came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, I like that, and you need to notice, every time in the Bible it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody, they started saying something. Say, I don't like to talk, and I don't like to speak in front of crowds, and I don't like to do this and that and the other thing. You need to get over it. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in you is the spirit of prophecy. You need to get so full of Jesus that it runs over and you can't stop talking about it. You really do. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you and it comes inside of you and that anointing falls on you, you're going to say something too. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, hear it again, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So, Pastor Ken, I am in a financial battle right now. It's not yours, it's God's. You say, I'm in a physical battle. I am battling with sickness and disease. I want to tell you something. The battle is not yours, it's God's. He's wanting you to trust in him. You say, I'm in a marital battle right now, man. We just can't seem to get it together. We can't figure it out. We don't know how we're going to get through it. I'm telling you, the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. You got to get that in your heart and get that in your mind, because life is tough and battles are going to come. But the reality is, when you face every one of them as a child of God, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. You've got to learn that. Tomorrow, he says, go down against them. Behold, they're going to come up by the cliff of Ziz. And you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. God knows where the enemy is. He knows how the enemy works. He knows what he's about to try to do to you. Nothing catches God by surprise. One word God never said is oops. He knows what's going on. You haven't got it figured out. You can't see everything. You don't know where all the attacks coming from. God does. He cares about you. Amen. You shall not need to fight in this battle. I love this. You know why I love this? Because I have been so many times in my own life where I've just had to throw my hands up and say, God, I don't know how to take another step. I don't have another idea about how to fix this. There is not another single thing that I know to do. And you know what God says? He said, you don't even need to fight in this thing. When you have done all that you know to do, leave the rest up to God. Yeah. I just drop a handkerchief and you'll clap this morning, right? That's good, man. I'm telling you, you just worshiping the Lord. And you shall find them at the end of this brook in the wilderness. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. And he said, set yourselves and stand still. Stand still. You really got to hear this morning. When you've done all that you know to do in God, stand still. That's one of the hardest things for us to do, is stand still. We want to do what Esau did. Esau got hungry. He thought he was dying. He wasn't dying. We knew he wasn't dying. You know what he did? He didn't wait on God, and he didn't trust in God to feed him and to help him and to fix his problem. Brother Steve didn't know I was preaching this morning. You know what he did? He took things into his own hands. He started compromising. He was breaking the rules of God. He was breaking the laws of the land. And he sold his brother his birthright. And you and I have been paying for it ever since. If you listen to the news lately, the Arabs and the Israelites are fighting over the Gaza Strip again. They're throwing bombs and missiles at each other. You know why? Because they're still fighting over that birthright, that bowl of soup. Because one group says, Esau and Ishmael, they're our descendants, and this land belongs to us. It was our birthright. But they sold the birthright to Israel. You see the same thing with Abraham and Sarah. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I am going to make your descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. You won't even be able to count them. But they couldn't wait. They couldn't just stand still and let God do it. They had to take things into their own hands. What I'm saying to you this morning, church, when you have truly done everything you know to do and you're still walking in righteousness and holiness with God, don't let the devil talk you into taking another step when God's just saying, stand, be still, and know that I am God. You know, if Moses would have got to the Red Sea with all the Israelites while he was being chased with Pharaoh, if he'd have got down there and at the last minute as he looked at Pharaoh and his army coming, if he'd have said, man, let's build some boats, chop up them wagons, let's make some boats, we got to get across the river. You know what would happen? They'd all drown. You know what God told him to do? He said, Moses, go down to the edge of that sea, buddy, and just stand there. Why? He said, because you're going to behold the salvation of the Lord. And see, the devil's always trying to get us to jump and push and do something we know that isn't the right thing to do. We know it's not the godly thing to do. We know that we sometimes are even disobeying God's word in doing it. But, you know, God's not here. I got to jump in here and fix this. You're going to get in trouble every time. Do all you know to do. But when you've done all that you know to do, learn to stand and wait on God. Sometimes you just got to wait it out. In fact, this is so important that you learn this. Jesus said this. He said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. And see, the devil's always trying. I've said this to people for years. If the devil can't keep you from getting saved, if he can't talk you in after you get saved to sitting on a church pew and molding till you die, he'll do the opposite. He'll take you up to the top of the pinnacle, and he will push you off, and he'll say, push, push, push. Go, run ahead of God. How many of you know we're supposed to stay in step with the Holy Spirit and where we know God is and where he wants us to be and what his word teaches us how we're supposed to walk? We're not supposed to run ahead of him. We're not supposed to run up behind him. We're supposed to stay with him no matter what and trust him. Amen. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat, who was the king, bowed his head and his face to the ground. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I know some of you have been going to some upright churches all your life where nobody ever got excited or emotional or ever fell down in the floor before God. But bless your poor little pitiful heart. I feel bad for you. You had to put up that boring stuff. You say, I don't know if God's in all that emotion, all that excitement, people falling down. You better read the good old B-I-B-L-E. I'm telling you, sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of you and he is in you and you realize that you are being touched by the presence of God and it's so real to you, about the only thing you can do is fall down on your face and worship God because there's nothing else to do. We haven't done it yet, but we started Thursday evening practice working on a new worship song. Kylie's going to be singing it. And I told her, I said, when we learn this thing and the first time we get it down, if you get all the way through it without falling on your face on the floor before God, I ain't Ken Harris. Because it's just that kind of song. You know, it's just a worship song and it touches your heart. And see, that's what this is. This is a response to God's presence touching your life, and you fall down in adoration before the Lord. And you know what they're doing? They're worshiping. It says they're worshiping the Lord. And it said, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and then the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. You and I need to get loud worshiping the Lord. Well, Pastor Ken, I'm not loud. I'm not that type of person. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be who and what he is. Forget about who and what you are and let Jesus live through you. I guarantee you, I don't care what kind of church mouse you are, there's something to get you that excited. God wants you to get that excited about him all the time. He does. In the book of Ephesians, he said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Spirit, singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart before the Lord. If some of you did that for half a day, your family would faint. You old sour puss. You old grumpy. If you get filled with the Spirit of God till the joy of the Lord filled your heart and you started singing and making melody unto the Lord, I'm telling you, some of them would faint. Some of them say, man, they might have finally got saved. I mean, it might be for real this time. Amen. You know why? Because worship will do that to you, and we need to worship God loudly. You need to worship God so loud that it shakes hell, that hell hears you, that the demons hear you, that the God of all glory and grace hears you. He's not deaf or hard of hearing, but he likes it loud. You know what people said to me down through the years? They said, if it's too loud, you're too old. Why? Because everywhere there's worship in the Bible, God instructs people to get loud. To get loud. You say, man, I don't know, that's crazy. I know, you go to a ball game, it don't bother you a bit. You go to the rock concert, it doesn't bother you a bit. used to run the bars, most of you, and it didn't bother you at all. But man, as soon as somebody gets a little excited, or what is that? It said, they rose early in the morning and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Can I say to you, believe in him? Believe in God. Trust in God. And I know it's easier for me standing here preaching and shouting and singing in church. It's easier to believe God than it is when I'm in the battles every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But we still got to believe and we still got to have faith. And it's one of the reasons you need to learn to have the Spirit of God in you and learn to sing and praise and rejoice, not just in church, but everything you do. He said, the Lord will establish you. And you know what else he said? He said, believe his prophets and you'll prosper. Now, you can only believe them if you are in the Word and studying the Word and know that what your preacher is preaching to you is the Word. But if he's preaching to you the Word, if he isn't preaching to you the latest book and the latest news program and, you know, whatever, what else is coming through, but if he's preaching the Word of God, I've been a lot of churches where they don't preach the Bible at all. And it's getting less in some places. They'll get up sometimes, they'll read one scripture, and then they'll preach for an hour and don't say another thing about God's Word. I don't even like that kind of preaching. Why? Because this is bread, this is life, this is wisdom, this is health, this is everything that God promised it would be. This is the thing that will save your soul to the uttermost, is the Word of God. You'll prosper if you listen to the Word of God, and you'll prosper if you listen to pastors who preach the Word of God and do what they say. Don't just listen to it. Don't just pat them on the back, shake their hand out the back door and say, good message, Pastor Ken. Live it. Put it into practice. Walk it in your life. Your life will prosper. You'll be blessed, but you have to do that. It said, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now think about this. They're going out to battle against a huge army. He said, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army. God's nuts. You would think. What if I said to our praise team this morning, we are greatly outnumbered. There's a great army out on the other side of the parking lot. Praise team. Pick up your guitar, get that fiddle, get a mic, and get out in front of us. We're going after them. Some be saying, I resign. I'm not doing that ministry. I wasn't called to this. Now, I'm just being a little bit facetious. Do you know in spiritual warfare, that's exactly what we have to do first? That's what God's trying to teach us here. When I read this, I always think, because I was a street person, ran the bars, and when I was younger, this is what I learned to do. If you got in a fight with somebody that was bigger than you, you had to act crazier than they were. If you don't think you can take them down, act crazy enough that they think you're going to kill them, they'll run from you. Can you imagine what this army thought when all these singers and musicians and the worship team got out in front of the army of Israel and started marching toward them? They're like, run! You better run. These people's crazy. They're going to kill us all. But there's more to it than that. God's trying to teach you and I that worship, we should have done that song today. We may do it yet. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. I don't give in. I don't give up. I don't get depressed. I don't quit. I start singing and worshiping God because this is how I fight my battles. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Paul and Silas locked up in the prison at midnight. They got their shackles on their legs, shackles on their hands. What do? Start singing. Start singing and praising God. And all the other prisoners going, man, them guys are nuts. Till the gates started coming up, till the prison walls started coming up, till angels started showing up. And then they're like, man, what must we do to be saved? Yeah. We need worship. You're going to be glad. I already told tech people, I said, this is probably three sermons. I'm only going to get to the first part of it, and that's all I'm going to get. Because I want the worship team to come platform now, will you? Come on up here. It said, believe in the Lord. And God sent these people, these singers and these musicians, he sent them out before the army of the Lord. Now, I know some of you, you came to church all tired and bored already, and then when we started singing and praising the Lord, you looked like a bullfrog caught in a hailstorm. Looked like a deer caught in headlights. You just sitting there like, what in the world are they doing here? I want to tell you what they're doing. They're fighting. They're doing spiritual warfare. There are people that need healing. There's people that need emotional healing, relational healing. When we worship, we're not just filling time with songs. We are worshiping God, and there is spiritual warfare going on in people's lives. That's what worship is. If you ever get that down in your heart and mind, then every time we would get together to worship, you would give it everything you got. You say, God, I'm going to sing till I drive the devils out of my life. I'm going to sing till I drive the devils out of my house. I'm going to sing till I drive the devils out of church, God. I'm going to sing until the glory of the Lord comes down. That's what it's about. That's why we do what we do. It says, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come together against Judah. You know, when you and I are singing, there's demon spirits floating around here. I preached on some of it a few weeks ago. They're in the heavenly places, and what they're doing is they're counting on you to lose faith in God. They're counting on you not to care about God. You remember what the devil said about Job when he went and talked to God? He said, Job don't really love you, God. Job don't really want to serve you, God. All he cares about is the things you can give him and the things you can do for him. He don't really love you, God. And you know the devil says that about you and me every time we come to church. He said, he's saying, look, they'll just sit down, they'll shut up, they don't care, they don't love you, they don't shout to you, they don't sing to you, they don't praise to you, they don't have faith in you. But man, when you do, you know what happens to those demons? God sets ambushes. He's like, oh, yes, they do. John said this. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it says, God is seeking such to worship him. Now, there are churches all over this county and this land where God did not show up at all today. You know why? Because there aren't any worshipers there. So, churches are filled, yeah, with religious people doing religious things and doing everything under the sun except worshiping, loving, praising, singing, and worshiping God and breaking those powers of darkness in their life. That's what God is teaching us here. That's what he's saying to us here. He's going to set ambushes against your enemy. And I know sometimes we are so sick we don't feel like it. Sometimes we are so tired we don't feel like it. Sometimes we are up against battles that we just don't feel like it. But I want to tell you something. We walk by faith and not by sight. You don't walk by your feelings as a Christian. You walk with faith in God. Trust God. Begin to worship him and sing praises anyway. And I'm telling you, the bigger the battle that you're going through, the more praise and worship you need to do. And I'm going to shut up and let you do it. Stand to your feet. Let God move in this place this morning. Let him move in your heart. Just try it, even if you've never really tried it before. Just let go and let God. Come on up here, Pam. You exhort him while I get my guitar.
It's praise. How about that? Awesome. I have a new burden for families who are in the journey with loved ones who are going through addiction. Okay? He's put a new burden on my heart for that. And if there's anybody here that has a loved one that is going through that battle right now, I encourage you to praise like you've never praised before.
Yes.
And let those warring angels begin to war on their behalf and for your strength too. And that scripture said about standing still, there's times when we need to stand still and we need to be refreshed in his spirit, because then you will go out, like he said, tomorrow and you will win the battle. Hallelujah.
The victory is ours, people. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, your army is present and ready to do battle. Father God, we have received your message. Word, Father God. We declare war now, Father God, on those strongholds that present themselves to us today, Father God. Send your army forth now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Let us go forth and fight for you, Father God. Lord, just give us the strength that we need, Father God. Holy Spirit, just guide and direct our footsteps in the name of Jesus. Father God, direct us. Father God, when we are weary and tired, if all we can do is stand, let us stand before you, Father God. Father God, we lift up our praise and worship to you today, Father God. We honor you, Father God. We need you, Father. We need your direction. We need your footsteps in front of us, Father God. Oh, Father God, just direct us now, Father God. Give us the victory which you have declared for us, Father God. Help us not to doubt, but believe, Father God, what you have given to us today. Father, send now your army out, Father God. Declare victory for you, Jesus. Amen and amen.